Hello, this is Kim, the comic book goddess, from the Geek Pantheon and Your Moment of Kim podcasts at geekpantheon.com. And you are listening to episode 34 of Murder at Avedon Hill with P.G. Holyfield.
Welcome to the podcast presentation of Murder at Avedon Hill, The Chronicles of Aramis Cragan, written and produced by P.G. Holyfield. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of Murder at Avedon Hill. As you can tell by the length of this episode, episode 34 is very short. There's a reason for that. Chapter 34 of the novel is very short. It's only about 1,100 words. I could have taken chapter 34, combined it with chapter 35, and released that as episode 34. But chapter 35 is very long, over 4,000 words. And if I'd done that, two things would have happened. One, the episode would have been over an hour, and the time it would have taken me to put all that together would have meant you would have had to wait probably 2 weeks plus for that new content. So I decided to take the route of recording episode 34 as chapter 34, even though it's short, and release it to you as it is. So this is what you have. I hope you enjoy it. I would like to thank today's guest voices. First, we have Matthew Wayne Selznick, returning as Gareth Beckwin. We have John Stallard, better known as The Vicar from Geek Radio Daily, returning as Head Constable Lewis. We have a short, brief return by James Easel as Talek Boar. We have an even briefer return by Pip Ballantyne as Gloria Platt. We've got Chris Miller making his welcome return as Lord Avedon. And lastly, we have K.J. Johnson returning as Constable Ulrich. But even more importantly, this week, than our guest voices, we have at the end of this episode, we have probably the best listener-generated content that has ever appeared on any podcast. I may be stretching it, but it's that important to me. Please listen until the end of this episode. You will not be disappointed. Again, we're getting right into it. No story so far. Thanks for listening. Enjoy. And now, episode 34 of Murder at Avedon Hill.
Chapter 34, Bells of Dawn. The Icon of Iberian, Child of Prophecy. Iberian awoke at dawn, hearing bells. It was the call to battle that Iberian had embraced. Astika Taylir, Reminders of Iberian.
Aramis scratched the stubble on his cheek and pulled at his right ear. He opened his eyes and tried to focus on the room. He felt his neck crack as he whipped it from side to side, searching for Aaron.
He's fine. Don't worry yourself about Aaron.
Aramis sat up, not in his bed at dawn, but in a quiet meadow around midday. Gareth Beckwin sat cross-legged a few paces away. Gareth wore a blue doublet covered by a light woolen coat lined with fur. Aramis sniffed at the air as the world seemed to shift around them. The meadow was replaced by a river, and Aramis found himself sitting on the deck of an unmanned ship.
Now you appear in my dreams.
Gareth shrugged, but smiled at his ironic brother.
You're a tired man, Aramis. You should be awake right now, but you required rest even more than your Prince Aaron. It seems Aaron is protecting you more than the other way around.
Aramis closed his eyes for a moment. When he reopened them, they were still on the ship, gently listing in the slow-moving waters. If you are part of my conscience, you understand what I am doing.
If I am your conscience, I'm here to tell you that you do not serve Aaron by going down this path.
Gareth pushed himself to his feet. You know better than anyone, Gareth. Aaronic advisors do not serve any one person. We serve the land. Gareth snorted, but never lost a smile.
You could have fooled me, Aramis Cragan. It appears that you serve this boy's mother, just as you did during the last war.
Gareth disappeared before Aramis could respond. Fog rolled over the rails onto the deck towards Aramis, as if he were a channeler calling the river of magic to him. As the fog engulfed him, Aramis found he could not breathe. He struggled against the mists as light became darkness. Aramis awoke with a start. Aaron, barely awake himself, looked down at him from his nearby chair. Aaron gathered himself and told Aaron to lay down and sleep for the two psychs that would lead them to Dawn. Aramis checked the door to their room and was surprised to find Constable Ulrich standing outside.
The head constable asked me to stand watch. There's a warm meal for you in the kitchen if you'd like it now.
May Aj grant his blessings to you and your children, Ulrich. The monk gave thanks to Ulrich for being such a great man. With a worried look, Ulrich left and returned a short time later with a platter of food. The meal allowed Aramis to make it through the rest of the night. While he trusted the town constable would remain alert, Aramis kept watch as well. He retrieved his notebook and pen from one of the packs against the wall of the room. Once seated, Aramis began studying his notes once again. Aaron sat on the dais in Lord Abaddon's great hall. Lord Abaddon sat beside him, looking as angry as ever. He leaned over and growled in Aaron's general direction.
Well, have you figured it out yet? Valet, warrior, whatever you are?
I need answers. I need to save my son.
Aaron looked at the round table in the center of the great hall. Several people sat in the large oak chairs around the table, including Lane Nichols, Blake Weathertop, Sarah Tremaine, Herr Jar, Father Joris, Jilly Hemming, and several others Aramis had already cleared. Greta's mother, Gloria, stood between the table and the dais, staring at Aaron with a look of expectation on her face. The town's constables and several manor guards, including Rock, surrounded the table. They held weapons at the ready, preventing anyone from leaving their chairs. Head Constable Lewis now stood next to Gloria Platt, a hopeful look on his face.
So, Aaron, who killed Greta?
I don't know. We're closer, but...
I know it wasn't me.
Aaron looked up to see Talik Bor, previously blocked by view by one of the guards.
I'm dead, you know. Look at my throat.
The cut along Talik's throat oozed blood. His previously white shirt was red from neck to waist. Talik, I can't say for sure that you did not kill Greta, even though it doesn't look that way. You still had motive and opportunity. Talik threw up his hands in disgust.
Didn't you see me in that cave? I couldn't have killed anyone. It wasn't in my nature.
How many more people are going to die before this ends, Aaron?
Before Aaron could respond, a scream filled the room.
Ah!
Aaron stood and was met with the sight of Gloria Platt staggering forward, holding the side of her neck with both hands. She could not contain the blood that escaped through her fingers. Head Constable Lewis jumped over to help her, placing his hands over hers. Gloria slipped on her own blood and fell into Lewis's arms.
Damn you, and your master, Aaron! You've failed us again!
From somewhere outside, Aaron heard bells, most likely coming from the Temple of Aj. Aramis heard Constables Tanner and Ulrich outside the door. Tanner was doing most of the talking, and from the tone of his voice, he was upset. Even without windows, Aramis knew that dawn had recently arrived. It wasn't a surprise when Ulrich knocked on the door. As Aramis moved towards the door, Aaron sat up in his bed, fully awake.
It's Gloria Platt.
Aramis smiled. Dreaming again. I do believe it's Constable Ulrich. Aaron began a response as Aramis opened the door to the room. Constable Ulrich poked his head through the doorway.
Sir Aramis, you're needed at the town playhouse. There's been another murder.
Aramis frowned, now realizing the meaning behind Aaron's words. Gloria Platt. Constable Ulrich's eyes widened.
How did you know?
Aramis turned to Aaron, who was already getting dressed. Aaron, put your sword belt on. There's no need to hide it now.
Hello, everyone. This is Justin McCumber from the Dead Robots Society podcast. Recently, we announced our second annual writing contest, which is about great opening chapters. We asked you to send us something that would grab us and have us begging to read more. And so far, the response has been phenomenal. But due to overwhelming demand, we've made one change to the rules of the contest. Originally, we were going to end the contest on October 31st so that we wouldn't conflict with NaNoWriMo, which runs through November. But people have convinced us that this would not be a conflict and would instead be a nice pairing of goals. You're already going to be writing a novel during NaNoWriMo, and I'm sure that novel is going to have a great opening, so why not have that work do double duty by being part of our contest? In retrospect, it's a no-brainer, and I wish I'd thought of it. So, the contest will run from October 1st to November 30th, and the entries can't be longer than 5,000 words. Email your chapter to show@deadrobotssociety.com, and please only submit one story. If you've already sent us a submission, but you think you'll want to replace it with what you write during NaNoWriMo, just send it in and let us know. And that's it. I've already received some of the prizes that we'll be awarding, such as the autographed copy of Scott Sigler's out-of-print novel Ancestor, as well as a signed hardback copy of Patrick Rothfuss' novel The Name of the Wind. Other authors who generously said they would be part of the contest include T. Morris, Mer Lafferty, A. Lee Martinez, Matthew Wayne Selznick, Philippa Ballantyne, and P.G. Holyfield. Talk about a sky full of stars. Anyway, that's it. I hope extending the deadline hasn't confused anyone. If you've already submitted a story and it's the one you want us to read, you're good to go. Everyone else, you now have 30 more days. We've already received so many wonderful submissions, and I can't wait to read what the rest of you have for us. For further developments, please visit www.deadrobotssociety.com and also make sure to listen to our show. We recently had an episode about opening chapters, and don't think that was by coincidence. Thanks so much, everybody, and take care.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for sticking around. We've got a few Karen Line calls to play. If you would like to join in the fun, please call the Karen Line with questions or comments. And, of course, a damn you, Holyfield, is always appreciated.
Damn you, T! Oh, sorry, did it again. Sorry, PJ. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay, I got it written down here somewhere. Okay, it's pronounced P-G. Not PJ, not T. It's P-G, okay? I got it right this time. Right? I did? Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Holyfield. My name is Matt. I'm a listener out in Portland, Oregon. And I have been a fan of Murder at Avedon Hill probably since you were about a couple episodes into it. I heard your promo on one of Mer Lafferty's podcasts, and figured if she's recommending it, I better check it out. I really enjoy it. So, as has been mentioned, I'm going to pay my bills here by pointing out that, or just stating, that I really like the podcast. But your last episode had something in there that threw me. The Dwarven City was named Cornhole. Am I hearing that correct? I went back over that audio about four times. Cornhole. You might want to avoid references to the anus when naming future cities. Okay. Sorry, had to get that off my chest. But great podcast, weird moment. All right. Thank you for everything you're providing to us, though. Bye-bye.
That would be Cornhold. 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 But point is well taken. I will be considering the verbal component of any name I choose for something in the future. So thanks for the for pointing that out. Hi, this is PG Holyfield, creator and producer of the Murder at Avedon Hill podcast novel. Found at pghardyfield.com. And here's what I learned on last week's Evo at 11.
Bo Frazetta.
Frazetta.
Actually, wasn't that a character in Willow?
Frazetta, Frazetta, Bo Frazetta.
Wow.
I stole the baby from you, Daikini, while you were taking a pee-pee.
Stole the baby.
You know what? That movie was terrible. Let's not bring it up.
I love that movie.
Willow.
You cannot take my brain.
Please. What would I want with your brain?
I do want to kick off talking about our current recurrent theme here on the show, and that's heroes. But I still can't go over the whole Frau Blücher thing that Peter Pacelli's mom is doing.
I am Paul Blücher.
Where are you doing, brother? Cubs, like, good God, that is straight from Young Frankenstein. She should stop.
Turns out you're the villain, Peter. I'm the hero.
And speaking of Siler, this is the guy who can terrorize the entire planet, right? We've got to really knock him down. But you ask him real nicely, oh, okay, I'll go out and be, you know, Horn Rim Glasses guy's partner. Sure, why not?
The grandfather's work was doo-doo!
Diamondbacks have a guy on their team whose name is Fuck You Dome.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
Twitter.com/FuckYouDome. I'm so gonna go take that. That's but true. I don't think Chalant or Gruntle are words.
I don't think
you're
that,
right.
That's
the
idea.
The point.
Right, welcome to this topic, right?
Hey, well, Jesus, I don't know.
We're in the bestiality business, dude.
Hey, we like to call it interspecies erotic.
Donkey.
You know, fuck you,
bestiality.
Domi actually works, I guess, for the.
I hope that donkey doesn't have a hiney troll.
Or use the voicemail line. Oh, no, wait, we don't have one.
And the final thing we learned on last week's Evo at 11...
I don't want to shit myself on Friday.
If you want more of this stuff, go to evoat11.com.
Okay, listen, guys, I've been doing this for a while now, and I've yet to be touched like I was when I received what you're about to hear. I won't say anything more about it. Just go ahead and listen.
Damn you, holy.
happen bring us to the end of this ordeal. Damn you, Holyfield, or is it Dauphin? I wish our trickster king of podcasting could write a little faster. Please write faster.
That, my friends, was Kim Fortuner. Also the voice you heard at the beginning of this episode with the intro bumper. That's Kim Fortuner, a.k.a. Comic Book Goddess, a.k.a. Sinspired on Twitter. I met Kim at Dragon Con, and she has been just a great supporter of the podcast and of the novel itself. Please check out more of her work, especially her podcasts over at geekpantheon.com. The Four Color Heroines podcast at girl-wonder.org, and soon, hopefully, some more of her music over at comicbookgoddess.com. That's it for today. Short episode, but I think it was worth it. Next time, episode 35, and it will be a long one, and we'll be coming back at you soon. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Murder at Avedon Hill, written and produced by P.G. Holyfield. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this podcast and the author. Most of the music in this podcast generously provided by Shira Common through magnatune.com, Kevin McLeod through incompetech.com, and David Beard through davidbeardmusic.com. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave a review at iTunes and on patiobooks.com. And become part of the show by leaving a message on the Karen line at 704-315-5884. This podcast is copyright 2007-2008, P.G. Holyfield, and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.5 U.S. license.